1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to continue on in our study of the Holy Spirit, in our attempt to unite with the Spirit that's within us, okay? To become comfortable, to become acquainted with God in by way of His Spirit. The only way to truly worship God is in spirit and in truth. And unfortunately, some Christians don't have a connection to either. And that's a problem. That's why there isn't any growth at times. And you need to understand that God has given you the greatest gift in your salvation and secondarily the greatest gift by leaving His Spirit within you. That's how He's never able to leave you or forsake you. He's inside of you. What a beautiful truth this is. So once you find in your copy of God's Word, 1 Corinthians, would you stand, please, and let's read these verses today. We invite you to read them aloud if you'd like to, or follow along silently in your copy of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse number 9. Ready? But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, there's probably a good chance, for those of you who have been going to church for years and years and years, that the first verse that we read, you've heard it preached about heaven. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard what has entered into the heart of man, what God has in store for them. How many of you heard that verse used in teaching about heaven, preaching about heaven? Wonderful. It's true. I believe that without a doubt. I will say this, though, in this chapter, in this context, it's not talking about heaven. Sorry, bursted my bubble years ago, too. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't things that God has in heaven. We know that the Apostle John was translated in a beautiful vision before God, and he saw things he had never seen. He heard things he had never heard, things that were unlawful for him to utter. He couldn't even write it down, and even if he could, we wouldn't be able to understand it all. We know that is true about heaven. But wait a minute. We're not there yet. We are here, and we need God now. Now, we know, all of us, our treasures are laid up in heaven in Christ Jesus. We understand that, and what a wonderful day that'll be, and I'm all for every song about heaven, thinking about it, preaching about it, but wait a minute, we are not there yet. Anybody in a hurry to die? Now, sometimes in our suffering, some people get to that point, but we still have more living to do. Would you agree with me? If we had more of God to help us live, it'd be more like heaven on earth than what it is right now. Okay, well, that's what the Holy Spirit's job is to do, who moves into you and to help connect heaven to earth. And He does that by way of His illuminating ministry. So today, we're going to talk about the illumination of the Holy Spirit, the enlightening ministry that the Holy Spirit has to bring light into our world. Today, it's my prayer that God will turn the light on in your life. Father, I pray that you bless this message. Lord, it has been bathed in prayer. Lord, you and I have spent a lot of time, many, many hours, going over thoughts and scriptures and commentary and more scriptures and more prayer and more thought. And Father, here's what we're left with. Now, God, any thought of man left to itself falls dead to the ground. Any of my words that I would speak apart from that being filled with the Holy Spirit, I'd be wasting these good people's time. I pray that you, Holy Spirit of God, would take these words and put them into our ears, and may our ears be prepared to receive them, and may they be the words that you have for us today, words of truth. Father, for all of us who have had the lights not so bright in our life to understand, I pray that you illuminate our minds and our hearts with the truth of God's word. Holy Spirit, we ask you to do your ministry of work today and do it in each of us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Wow, what a wonderful journey that we have been on getting to know the Holy Spirit. We started off 6 weeks ago getting to know the Holy Spirit's person. He is a real person of God, just like Jesus is the real Son of God. The God the Father is the real Father of all the universe, of all the universes, of all creation. The Holy Spirit is also that beautiful Spirit of God who's equally divine. And as a person, we learned that he can be touched with our infirmities. He can be grieved. He is sorrowful as we sin and choose wrongly. We can quench the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that strong convicting power that a person may have had when they started off on a road of backsliding like the prodigal son, sometimes that gets more silent and more silent until a person says, well, I don't feel bad about what I'm doing. Be careful, my dear friend. That's a person who has quenched the Holy Spirit. So we've learned that. And then we found out what it means that the Holy Spirit, through prayer, is our intercessor. How that he's our guide, as if we were to go into a foreign land and not speak the language and not know the geographic locations and not know what's safe and not safe, whether you're in Mexico and you don't drink the water, or whether you're in another land and you don't go across the border like in Israel, but you need a guide. That's what the Holy Spirit is to our prayer. We've brought out the commandment Ephesians 5, where we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled. And it doesn't mean that that happens one time, because every day that we live a selfish life, every day that we make poor choices, we kind of spill out that which the Lord has filled, and now we fill our own vessels up with thoughts that we shouldn't have and things that we shouldn't do. And before we know it, we're more full of our way than we are God's way, and we need to be filled. Be ye being filled. We also found out that when we were saved, we were baptized into the body of Christ. One faith, one Lord, one... Yes, and it's good for you to understand that, because that is contrary to what some churches and people are teaching these days, that you're supposed to go to a special service, and in that service, the pastor's going to give an opportunity, or the evangelist, or the special speaker, he's going to do some special things, and you are all going to be slain in the Spirit and fall down, and you then will receive a special baptism. That's not scriptural. Amen. It's not. Now, does that mean that the Holy Spirit doesn't baptize? Oh, he sure does. That's why you're baptized into the body. But one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. Okay, we're starting to get you awake here. So we've learned that. And then we learned last week how that the fruit that the Lord gives us, the fruit of the Spirit, is sweet. And it has this beautiful ability to satisfy us, so much so that if we walk in these nine graces of the fruit of the Spirit, that we won't fulfill the deeds of the flesh. If we do what God wants us to do, we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf will not wither. Whatsoever he does will prosper. You can be like that precious fruit tree, and you can bear fruit, because every little seed of love is an opportunity to share. That's what the fruit is for, to share. God wants Christians to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, not to keep it to themselves. Fruit has the ability to reproduce, and God wants us doing that. So we've learned that. Now we're ready to pull back the curtain and see another ministry of the Holy Spirit, and that is the Holy Spirit's illumination. Our text gives a familiar verse, but one that may not be understood by everybody other than in the context of heaven. But we quickly assume that though Paul might, he's not talking not about heaven, but that based on the context, he wants us to understand that the spiritual things are understood by those who have had the spiritual light turned on. Those are the Christians. And you can discern things on this earth that God wants you to know. You can have the discerning spirit to lead you. Yes, you can pray, and you can ask the Lord to direct you, and he will direct your paths. If you don't lean under your own understanding, if you ask him to turn the light on, he may keep you from a terrible collision on the road. He can guide your steps. If you ask him, he may help you to know who you should spend time with and who you should not. He'll direct you in your fellowship. He'll direct you in your study. And we're going to learn that this morning. In verse 10, the Bible says, but God has revealed them unto us. Revealed what? The things that aren't seen or heard. Well, you'd agree with me, it's hard to know something if you don't see it or if you don't hear it. If you're unaware of it, how do you know it? Well, the Bible says that you and I, as we learn to get sensitive and become sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, he will direct your path. He will show you the way. He will show you those things which are not supposed to be part of the Christian's dialect, not supposed to be part of our thinking. He tells us to set our mind on things above, not on those things of the earth. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will help you to do it. In verse 11, he says, for what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? The Spirit knows things about God that you and I do not know. Why? For he is God. It is the Holy Spirit, not science, not wise men. Our verse says princes of the world that know. It is the Holy Spirit. So what is he saying? The wisdom of this world does not know the things of God. And the things of God is often contrary or different than the things of the world or the wisdom of the world. What is he saying? We do not know things as we ought, but as the Spirit reveals them. Have you ever thought you knew something and found out later you didn't? Yeah, that was looking at it through the human eyes instead of looking at it through the eyes of God or through the Spirit, discerning what was right. The Holy Spirit illuminates, makes the light come on, and enlightens us. In verse 12, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. And we know what that Spirit is. That is the Holy Spirit. That we might know the things that are freely given to us. Well, if they have been freely given to us, that's not will be given. Did you get that? We're supposed to know the things that have been given unto us. That means the things that are available right now. If he was talking about heaven, he would say, would be given to you or given unto you at that day, at that time. So there is a way to live. There are things available to the Christian today if you allow the Holy Spirit to turn the light on. Things available to us. And I don't know about you, but I could use a little bit more help from God. I could use more of what God has to help me in this life. Understanding-wise, discernment-wise, things that would help me, things that would help my family, things that would help us. We need this. Isaiah called the Holy Spirit, here's what he said in chapter 11, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, might, and knowledge. Now, before we break this down, be encouraged that every one of you have had the light of the Holy Spirit illuminate you when you got saved. Because if you wouldn't have, you are not yet saved. Because it's the precious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ that was turned on in your spirit when you said, oh, Jesus wants to forgive all of my sins. He loves me so much, he died for me. When you come to that understanding, what has happened? Before, you were trying to live your own life. Now, you're accepting what Christ did for you on the cross. The Holy Spirit has already illuminated you for salvation. But wait a minute. I was 10 years old when I got saved. Now I'm a little older than that. I need more light to walk the way of the Lord. When I was 10 years old, things were different in the world than they are now, right? How do you understand how to live as a Christian in today's world compared to how you lived 40 years ago? 40 years ago, the Supreme Court hadn't made the decisions they have made now. 40 years ago, the world was a different place. How do we relate to even the young children who are born in this world today? How do we understand the mind of people who are making decisions today? How do we? We need the Holy Spirit to turn the light on so that we can have the understanding, so we can love our children, love our grandchildren, and do the work that God has called us to do. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6, he said, "The God of this world, which we know is Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So the natural man receives not the things of God, not because God doesn't want him to receive. He gave his son that all of us would receive, okay? But many didn't receive him, but those who have become the children of God, and we know that. But wait a minute. There are children of God today who are walking around in darkness. There are Christians, there are churches, there are church people, there are congregants, there are people of God walking around, tripping on over things, stumbling into things simply because they're not asking the Holy Spirit to guide their steps, to turn the light on, to utilize his ministry of illumination, his enlightenment ministry, and therefore they are discouraged. Therefore, they live in a cloud of darkness. I know what it's like to go through a part of my life with a dark cloud of discouragement, yea, even depression. When you're in that cloud, everything's dark. There is little hope, and that's why you're there. You've lost hope. That didn't mean you lose Jesus. You can't lose him, and he doesn't lose you. You do not have the mindset at that time when that dark cloud is covering you and you cannot see the sun and you don't believe in tomorrow and you think all is lost. At that time is when you need the Holy Spirit to turn the light on. And that's when the Holy Spirit wants to do it more than ever. And that's available for you today. We didn't read this, but in verse 7, the Bible says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels," that's our bodies, "that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." How many of you would agree with Pastor today that when you walk in your own understanding, you trip more than when you walk when God's leading you? Amen. Okay, so we have that understanding, and now we need to see how that we can utilize, walk in this light, have the Holy Spirit do this great ministry in us. Let's talk more about this illumination. The word illumination means to make known or to have the light turned on. It means to brighten with light. To illuminate means to brighten with light. The Bible word, which illumination is in the Bible one time standing all by itself, but the word enlightenment is in the Old and New Testament. The word illumination is the Hebrew Old Testament word of enlightenment. So whenever you see the word light, you need to connect it to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit first came to those disciples in the upper room, he came as a tongue of flame. A flame brightened and lit up the whole room. Matter of fact, God said, "I'm going to make it more dramatic than that. I'm going to send in a mighty wind, a rushing mighty wind." What does wind do to the flames of fire? and it lit up the whole room. That's what God wants you to recognize. As you think about the Holy Spirit, you need to see brightness. You need to understand that God is dispelling darkness in your life and in my life. He doesn't want you walking in darkness. His love for you is he never wants you to stub your toe. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And that's what the Holy Spirit is for you. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prayed for his friends. And as he prayed for this friends in Ephesus, he says, "I ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him." In verse 18, he says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling." When we live or grope in darkness, when we can't understand how God would allow this trial to come, when we get down and discouraged, what happens? Our spirit is heavy. You know that's true. And instead of being light and happy and positive and encouraged, we're the opposite of that. And then if we continue and walk into that, it just breeds sorrow upon sorrow. And God wants you out of that depression. He wants you away from that discouragement. And he wants you in the glorious light of the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ. So here's what he's done for you. He's given you a process by which you can understand his love. And that is the word of God. A process by which we understand the Bible. Verse 9 starts off like this. It is written. Well, if you didn't need to know anything else, you'd understand what he's getting ready to tell you. He's telling you, "I've already written it down. I'm going to tell you how the Holy Spirit can do this wonderful work in your life, but you don't need to just hear it. You need to see it." So for all of you who do this, I would recommend this to you. We live in a different age, and cell phones, people carry them. They've got them tethered to their wrist. They might as well have them tied to their nose. We have them, and I'm fine with people looking scripture up on their phone. That's wonderful. I have a Bible app on my phone. But there is also something special about holding the Word of God in your hand and having the book right there. It really is kind of special. And of course, some people like the smell of a book, new or old. The new ones smell a little bit better than the old ones, at least in my opinion. But to see that it is written. Okay, but it is written, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard." Well, when I start thinking about this verse, I say, wait a minute, God already wrote it down. So if I want to find out what has been written, I need to read. Would you agree with me? If I need to understand what is written, I need to read. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, so the hearing part is important, no question about it. But when I read what God says, guess what I hear? What God is telling me. I'm reading, but it is written. "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them." Now, in our context, that which we read, verses 9 through 14, we see the word "things" 7 times. God says, "I want you to know the things that I have for you, and I want you to know the things that I have for you. And I don't want you to forget the things that I have for you. And I want you to link up with the Holy Spirit so that you'll know the things I have for you." And by the way, the things that I have for you are pretty special. Oh, if you just knew the things that I had for you. And the Holy Spirit says again, "Oh, the things that God has prepared for us." So 7 times he tells us, "I got things for you. I got things for you." What a wonderful thing that is, that God would even consider opening up a window, opening up the door, and allowing us to peek into and see that there are things that he has prepared for us, things that he has for all of us who love him, things that are available in our life, things that if you do not have, no wonder you do not know whether there be any Holy Spirit or not. He has things for us. Reading is one thing, but understanding is another. "How shall I understand, lest some man should guide me?" the Ethiopian eunuch said. When the Holy Spirit has our mind, he can also have our heart. It's possible for somebody to be emotional but not have the mindset. So therefore, God has given us his word. I don't have to try to figure out what's right or wrong. If I've got it written down and God's the one that's written it down, do I not have the opportunity to take his word for it? If you need to know something, you go to somebody who's smarter than you, hopefully. If you need to know something about the previous generation, go to your mom, go to your dad. A loving mother and a loving father is not going to turn you away. They're going to tell you a truth. Now you say, but yeah, but that's when you were old. That's when you were a young man, Dad, and you're old now. So that's a long time ago. God transcends time. He is the Alpha and the Omega. What's that mean? He is the beginning and the... So he's written these things down. And he has a process by which we can understand the Bible. And that's called the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Psalms 119, 130 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light, and it gives understanding to the simple. Well, that's most of us. Rarely do very many of us fall into the wise category. At times we make wise choices. Hey, I did a good thing yesterday. I did what God wanted me to do. I made a decision to help me to live like Jesus. Okay, I was wise yesterday. But how'd you do the day before that? How'd you do last year? How'd you do the year before that? How'd you do at this time? And we live in a time somewhere between the wisdom of God and the foolishness of men. We bounce back. We make good decisions and bad decisions. Well, in the middle there is the simple man. And the simple man needs help from God all the time. And that's who you and I are. We fit into that category. At times we are wise. And as we learn the things of God, we can help other people. And the Bible says it's the glorious light that helps us to be wise. Our early church fathers, as well as the reformers, knew this. Luther and Calvin and George Wycliffe preached about supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit to work in lockstep with the Bible to give spiritual understanding. We can know things about God because God reveals things to those who are walking in the light. Without the illuminating Holy Spirit, the Bible is a closed book. For any of us to say, God, show me what's right. Show me what's right. God, lead me in the way of righteousness. Show me the path. I don't have time to read my Bible. God, show me. I need your help today. I know I should be doing devotion, but I don't have time. You are going to grope in darkness. Because God is trying to talk to you. He's trying to communicate you. He's trying to help you, and he'll show you the way. But you have to, it is written. There's a process, and the process is through the word of God. Now, unlike some who bear false witness, some who speak, as Paul says, to fill their own belly, there is no new revelation of God's word. And there are some out there who are looking for a new revelation of the Holy Spirit. They want to dream new dreams and have new visions, and they're seeking after a sign. Be so careful, my friend. Hopefully none of you are in that category, because the Bible says a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign like that. But I'm telling you, you don't have to. You don't have to live your life thinking, well, I wish God just loved me enough to show me what to do. He has loved you so much. He's authored a word. He has preserved it in our English language. And chances are you've got about 3 or 4 copies in your house. We have the process by which we can understand the will of God. In John chapter 16, Jesus said, verse 13 through 15, when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. And by the way, that's a good test to give to a false teacher. If a false teacher is bragging about the Holy Spirit speaking in us, in other words, the Holy Spirit told me to buy my Bentley. The Holy Spirit told me to take all the church's money. The Holy Spirit told me to do it. Be careful about that, because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to build up, to magnify the words of Jesus Christ. Now, I have to ask you a question here. And by the way, I don't have anything against Bentleys or Mercedes. I'm thinking about buying. No, just kidding. Can you see Jesus driving one? Now, I don't know if I can see him driving my truck either, but if Jesus would do it, then he would want you to do it. the Holy Spirit will always direct you back to what Jesus would do. Every time, all the time. That's his ministry. Jesus said, I can't even give you the Holy Spirit till I go away, because when I go away, he's going to come and he's going to teach you things about me. And he's going to guide you into all truth, because we know that's who Jesus is. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Therefore said I, Jesus, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. So what are the seven things that the Holy Spirit wants to illuminate? He wants to turn the light on to the things that Jesus did. Did Jesus go about doing good? Yeah, so that's what he wants you to do. He'll show you how to do good. Did Jesus love his enemies? So he's going to show us how to do that. He's going to turn the light on when you want to cast them into everlasting darkness and show you that may not be what God wants you to do. So it's a process by which we understand the Word of God. That's how the Holy Spirit illuminates. Paul again says in verse 13, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. So the Holy Spirit teaches us words to use that are different than what wise men in the world say. The Christian's language should be different than the world's. Amen for that. We should talk different. And those who have had the Holy Spirit teach them and help them, they talk a little different. There's a little bit more grace seasoned into their language, a lot more love in the language of a Spirit-filled Christian than there is in somebody who's not. The language of a Spirit-filled Christian is different. How do we learn? If you read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible, pretty soon you start talking a little bit in the Bible language. Verses will come out of the normal speaking. You will be reminded, and that's another ministry of the Holy Spirit we'll get to in a second here, but you'll start sounding a little bit more like a Bible-reading Christian, because that's how the Holy Spirit works. D.L. Moody said, the Bible without the Holy Spirit is a sundial by moonlight. The revealed will of God is knowable. If it's written down, I can know it. How many people walking around saying, oh, I'm just begging God to show me something. I just need to know something. And all of a sudden, there's a cloud in the sky, and it looks like a hand. And it's turned a certain way, and there's a finger. Ah, I'm supposed to leave and go that direction. Somebody puts some toast in the toaster, and it comes out, and it's got a strange-looking burnt spot on it. It's the Mother Mary. We laugh, but that is how the world believes in things that are strange and out there. Listen to me. That's not how the Holy Spirit will direct you. The Holy Spirit will show you the hand of God in the Word of God. Amen. The entrance of thy Word giveth light. So we must soak our spirit in the Word of God. It is the revealed message of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. There is profit in that, and the Holy Spirit will take that word which you read, which you didn't quite understand, and you have questions about, and he'll start breaking it down and focusing some light on a certain word or a certain phrase or expand the context a little bit. And before you know it, you say, wow, I never saw it from that perspective. That's how the Holy Spirit's work of illumination happens. Some Christians are looking for a message from God in the clouds, and they ought to be looking for a message from God in that which he has written. So that is the illuminating spirit of God's ministry through the Word of God. And then secondly, finally, the ministering spirit of God, the illumination of the Holy Spirit, has the ability to teach us how to discern truth. What is right? What is wrong? Boy, if we had a room full of teenagers, we'd have to spend the whole time on this right here. What is right? What is wrong? Well, that's relative, Pastor. No, it's not. The sun comes up in the east, and where does it set? In the west. Is that relative? No. Well, that depends now, Pastor, where you believe the east is and where you believe the west is. No. It is settled and always has been settled where the east is and where the west is. All right? Well, now we could talk about gravity. You know, if you take a penny and you get on top of the, what was the screaming demon? Is that, what is it, Cedar Point? I'm trying to think if that was the one it was. No, the demon drop. I remember the demon drop. If you got on the demon drop at Cedar Point, that was just one of those rides where you just fell like that. And you put a penny on your knee. You're sitting there all strapped in. Put a penny on your knee and you fall and the penny floats, right? What is happening there? I'm falling faster than the natural fall of gravity. So I'm here, the penny's, wow, has something to do with the weight distribution. Okay, all that, wait a minute. Somebody wants to tell you that, no, it has nothing to do with gravity. That's just your perspective. You can't rewrite that law. There are certain laws of the universe you cannot rewrite. So we know what truth is. And the Bible says Jesus is not only the way, but he is the truth. You can argue with that. By the way, scholars have stopped arguing whether or not Jesus was a real live person 2,000 years ago. They've finally said, okay, yes, there's enough evidence. There was a man named Jesus. He was from Nazareth. He did ministry, and here's the time he lived. The Roman law confirms that he died on a Roman cross. Yes, it's true. Okay, we won't argue about that, but he really wasn't God. Tell that to the lame man. Tell that to the blind woman. Tell that to Mary Magdalene. Tell it to anybody who ever met him and he changed their life, and they'll tell you different because the truth lives. So what am I saying, Pastor? I'm saying the Holy Spirit wants to put shine light on that which is true so that you no longer have doubts. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it is Satan who is the author of confusion. And Christians are not commanded to fear. Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. And God doesn't want you to be ignorant either. So he's given you the word of truth. And the more you read it and the Holy Spirit speaks and you listen, he turns the light on. Before you know it, you know the pathway. The Holy Spirit is the key to unlocking things about God. The things that he has for his children are not things that the world can understand. You don't be surprised when you tell somebody in the world what you believe God has planned for you. They will not understand. The natural man that receives not those things, but you can understand. The moon shines in the night sky because of the reflected light from the sun. That is a fact. The moon doesn't have its own light. Without that reflected light, the moon would become lost in the darkness of space, just like every single believer in Christ shines because of the reflection of Christ's love and light. Without that reflected light, the believer becomes lost in darkness, and we don't know the way. The unsaved see life as a photograph, one-dimensional. That's all they care to see. I was telling the folks in Sunday school, it's amazing the technology that's out there now. I mean, you see it on movies and TV and stuff, but holograms, okay? So you can get a 3 and 4D picture. Well, what changes the picture when you see that is you not only see a frontal, like in a picture, somebody takes a picture and you see just front, you don't have any idea what's behind, you don't have any idea, and you can't even pick out certain things. But when you make it into a four-dimensional object, you could see all aspects of it. That's what the Holy Spirit's trying to do to you today. He's trying to add another dimension to your understanding. He's trying to turn the light on and let you step into the room of God's love and see there are more things in there than you ever thought there was. That's the ability to discern spiritual truth. Spiritual discernment is available to every believer who prays, to every believer who seeks, to every believer who knocks. God wants to open that door, and the Holy Spirit turns the light on, and you're able to see the beautiful things that God has for his children. But let me leave you with three things that God will do this by, three different ways he'll do it. Number one, by spiritual recall. The Holy Spirit turns the light on through spiritual recall. John 14:26, Jesus says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance that I told you." That's what I've been looking for. Somebody to remind me of what I need to be reminded of. Could you use a little help with that? Anybody out there? I mean, could you use some help remembering? Now, the Holy Spirit isn't going to remind you of your sin, because that's been gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. He's not going to remind you of your failures. He's going to remind you of what Jesus Christ said while he was on this earth. He's going to remind you of that which you read in the Bible. He's going to remind you of that which you've heard from preaching and teaching. He's going to remind you of what your mama said that was spiritually true. He's going to remind you of what other people said that was truth. He's going to remind you of the truth. That's what he's going to do. It's a spiritual recall. What a wonderful thing. Because I'm learning as we get older, we have less and less ability to recall even those good things. You ever sit down and try to remember a good memory and you start thinking, well, I don't remember all the details of that. I used to remember all the details of that. The Holy Spirit never forgets. And when he turns the light on of something God has already taught you, shown you, that you've read, it's a beautiful thing. It's one of those aha moments. No. I grew up in the 70s. It's a Shazam moment. Remember that guy? He would just show up, right? The Holy Spirit is like that. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you can't remember, all of a sudden, hey, I just got it. Eureka. That's the Holy Spirit reminding you of what God wants you to know at the time that you need to know it, spiritual recall. The second thing is spiritual direction. Boy, we could all use more of that. Don't you just wish God would just show himself mightily and just say, okay, now, James, I'm going to take your hand, and you haven't been doing it right, so I'm going to take your hand and show you exactly how to do it. God, would you do this for me? We want God to do that, don't we? But he doesn't. Not in that physical sense, but he will lead you into truth so that you know what to do, what not to do. Spiritual discernment, knowing the what, where, and how. We have multiple stories in the Bible to teach us how to walk in the light. In Acts chapter 8, what a wonderful thing. Philip the evangelist. Oh, I'm just about out of time, but Philip is serving God. He's the deacon. He's helping. He's loving the widows and the fatherless and doing the things that relieve the pastors so that they can preach and teach. And he's doing these wonderful things. And finally, an angel says, hey, Philip, I want you to stop doing what you're doing and I want you to go over here. Now, you've had that happen. You've been in the middle of doing something, and you felt like, wait a minute, I need to stop what I'm doing and go over here. You didn't know why, but if you were yielded to the Holy Spirit, you did it. And then when you went over there, the Holy Spirit said, now I want you to go over here. So you did that. It's kind of like do the first step, and then he'll show you the second step. He goes over here, and the Holy Spirit says, see that guy over there? Oh, yeah. He didn't see that guy when he was over here in Jerusalem doing what he was doing. He didn't see that guy till he obeyed the Holy Spirit. So he went over there, and he said, the Holy Spirit said, join yourself unto him. That means go to where he's at. He goes there, and he sees the guy reading a copy of the book of Isaiah. And the natural thing is, hey, dude, you understand what you're reading? Nah. Now, it was probably pretty obvious to Philip that this guy wasn't a Jerusalemite. I mean, he had a very nice chariot, so he definitely wasn't from the country. And he was heading towards Egypt. Maybe he was from Egypt because he was Ethiopian, so okay, darker skin. All right, so what's the deal? Do you understand what you're reading? No, how can I? Somebody would guide me. So the Holy Spirit, trying to get this guy the gospel, speaks to Philip and directs him straight to a man who's begging to get saved. How hard do you think it was for Philip to win this guy to Christ? Not at all. You think maybe the Holy Spirit could do that with you? How many think the Holy Spirit, if he wanted to, could use you? Mm-hmm. The Lord gave Philip this wonderful direction. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. I thank God. I bet you the Ethiopian who's in heaven right now thanks God that Philip was united with the Spirit, that he listened, that he wasn't too busy. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So God wants to turn the light on to help us to know how to fellowship one with another. Do you see that? God wants the Holy Spirit in you to link up with the Holy Spirit in me so that we can fellowship together. God wants to give us things, and he has it for you. He wants to show you the spiritual direction. Isaiah 61:19, the sun shall be no more light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon withdraw thyself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. What a beautiful thing. Lastly, spiritual confidence. The Lord will turn the light on and give you confidence. Whew. Boy, the church needs more confidence today. We need more boldness for God. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And this is what I was telling you before. The Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you. As you read it in your mind, he wants it to end up in the heart. And he wants the heart and the mind to coincide. He doesn't want you to making an emotional decision. He wants you to make a decision based on truth that becomes very emotional. Spiritual confidence. A strong, confident mindset is found in those who are full of the Spirit. Satan is the author of confusion. God is the God of order. Oh, my time's gone. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Isn't that what we need, church? Don't we need more confidence in who we are as Christians and who the Holy Spirit is who's in us, and then confidence to do whatever he tells us to do? Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. That's what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. He's trying to bring you along on this spiritual journey. And oftentimes, we don't have time to listen. I found a verse. I love this when God does this, Brother Fred. I found a verse in the Bible that, and this always happens. You find a verse, you say, now, wait a minute. I read my Bible through all these times. Where you been, Mr. Verse? What's going on here? God, what are you trying to do to me? I read a verse. Now, hang on. It's in Habakkuk. You ever found a verse in one of those books? And okay, all right. So this was in Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 4. Listen to this. His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand. And there is the hiding of his power. The hand of God is the spirit that's in us. And he's always putting out his hand saying, come with me. Come on. Now, if I don't, I don't experience his power. If I don't have time, I don't have that experience, and I don't have the joy, and I don't have that, what he has for me, all these things, I don't get because I didn't do what we said last week, putting our hand in the hand. His hand. He's got the lightning bolt in his hand. The light is there. And he holds us in his hand. And it's the Holy Spirit that's in us that holds his hand to us. Thank you, Habakkuk. You gave me what I needed today. Because the Holy Spirit is that beautiful, still small voice who has great power, but only as we yield ourselves to him and when we allow him to turn that light on. Would you bow your heads, please? I don't believe there's any.